September 15th is a Saturday. You can check your calendars. It is a Saturday. I'd rather you verify what I believe than just taking my word for it. September 15th. I alluded to it a few times over the last few months. There is a conference, and I have what I'm going to send out to everyone. It's a little flyer. It's called United in Messiah. It's a conference and revival of Messianic Jews and Christians trying to bring Jew and Gentile together, basically. It's going to be down in Stratham, New Hampshire, probably about an hour away from here, give or take. We still are having service. The conference goes from about 10 o'clock till 8 o'clock is when they have the facility to. I can't imagine it's going until 8 o'clock, but you never know. You never know how conferences go sometimes. I'm telling you this because I'm not sure yet what time I'm going to be speaking. So there's going to be, whether we have Torah study on that day or not, I'm not sure yet. Depends on how the schedule falls. But I want to encourage everyone to attend as well. Okay? Pardon me? After our service, yes. That's the point I was getting at. After our service. So I'm going to email this out so you have it. You can Google the directions. I may provide a link to Google with the directions and everything. So I have two. I'm just following scripture. If your brother has two, give him one. But I will be emailing it, like I said, and I'll probably email directions as well. If I ever get the itinerary, I will email the itinerary as well. So that you have an idea, keeping in mind, we still have service at 10 o'clock here. Just keep that in mind. Meet and greet is part of the service. 10 o'clock. So. Yeah, Bill Bayless has been here several times. Okay. Yeah, trust me, I know. I know him quite well. Moving on. The title in your bulletin. The month of Elul, the beginning of your Sechilot. Keeping in mind what is today. Today is Elul 21. Including today, there's 10 days left in the month of Elul. So, you've got 10 days to apply what I'm going to share with you, even though we probably should have started before then. But there's 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's 10 days from now to Rosh Hashanah, so it's a nice little bookend. So the term is Selichot, is how it's pronounced. As we are approaching Yom Kippur, we are in the midst of the 30 days of the month of Elul, a time where our pursuit of repentance begins. It is a time we begin focusing on the upcoming season of the fall Moedim, the appointed times, a time when Israel would be judged as a nation, but would also seek atonement as a nation. It is on the calendar the same day every year, the 10th of Tishri, Yom Kippur. Unlike the Olam Haba, the world to come, when the books will be open and everyone will be judged according to what is in the books. Jerry shared a few things with you earlier today. Books have been somewhat prevalent with regards to what you've been hearing today. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing in front of the throne. Books were opened, books plural. And another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged from from what was written in the books according to what they had done. You think Big Brother's bad enough? You think the government overreach is bad enough? God has an accounting of everything. Now, keeping in mind, will it just be our transgressions that he's looking at, or will it be our deeds and actions as believers? I believe it will be both. Yet I believe on the ledger side of the book, where our transgressions are, it will say paid by Yeshua. Zero balance for believers. Yet, where our deeds and what we do as believers will be, I believe that is our service to Him, and He will take an accounting of how we served Him. What we did in His name. How we presented ourselves as believers to others. Were we His witnesses? I mean, we can go on and on about what He's looking for from us. These are the things that we were talking about during our time of prayer. In the past, I've conveyed to you my belief that we all begin in the Book of Life, according to Moses' interaction with Adonai, in which Moses conveys wanting to be removed. Exodus chapter 32, starting in verse 32. Now, if you will just forgive their sin, but if you won't, then I beg you, blot me out from your book, which you have written. And I answered Moses, those who have sinned against me are the ones I will blot out of my book. As much as you may want to be taken out of it, if you're living a righteous life through Yeshua, by the word of Adonai, I don't know why anyone would want to do this. I don't want to be in the book. I don't know why anybody would say that. But keeping in mind, I believe we start there. He knew us from the beginning. He knew us before we even became existent in a form starting in our mother's womb. I believe He had a plan for us from before time began. He, in essence, said, I'm paraphrasing here correctly. Here is my plan for when time begins to time ends. And here is who's going to be here, 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 and so on. Where your time here is a moed. It's an appointment. You have been scheduled to be here now for this time to do what God has called you to do. Yet just because we have accepted Yeshua doesn't mean we stop seeking God or His mercy and forgiveness from our transgressions. On the contrary, we should be doing this always, but equally as important, we should still be doing it at this time. What am I talking about? Seeking God for forgiveness, teshuva, repentance, returning to Him. Lord, whatever sin I'm not aware of, because we do transgress inadvertently, be careful. Reveal it to me so that I may come or return to You. I will tell you more about the why on Yom Kippur. I won't tell you more about the why on Yom Kippur, but today I want to focus on the pursuit part. I want to focus on this time that we are to pursue repentance, forgiveness. One of the things that goes on during this time, specifically during the 10 days of awe from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, in essence, comes from Scripture itself. Do you remember the passage where Yeshua says that if you have an issue with someone, ought in the King James, leave your gift at the altar, go and reconcile, then return. This is the very same premise during these 10 days and during this month. If you have issues with someone, make amends with them during this time. And then come with your gift. Your gift being your repentant heart. Your gift being the teshuva that you have gone through. Your gift being the repaired relationship as your offering. This is something that's very Jewish in practice, but it is very New Covenant in action. Yeshua conveyed the same thing with regards to relationship. Ultimately, this all begins with our own introspection. We must first search ourselves first. Lord, where did I go wrong? Lord, what did I do? Lord, what didn't I do? Before we can talk to anyone else. There's a verse that I paraphrase all the time when someone says something and they don't really know what they're saying. Or they don't realize what they're saying. Speck and log, speck and log. And I leave it at that. A Jewish understanding of all this includes making amends with one another, as I had mentioned. And typically it should have occurred within the past year. Matthew 5:23. So if you are offering your gift at the temple altar and you remember there that your brother has something against you, leave your gift where it is by the altar and go make peace with your brother. Then come back and offer your gift. We just finished the song, Blessed is the Man. This is in Matthew 5:23 and 24. Just before the Beatitudes, the blessings that Yeshua leads with in his Sermon on the Mount. The term Sehilot, S-E-L-I-C-H-O-T, are basically Jewish repentance, poems, and prayers. Sehilot, plural. And they are especially those that are said in the time leading up to the High Holy Days and the fast days. Ultimately, God's 13 attributes of mercy are central throughout these prayers. Now let me break down for you Selichot and how, and just some of the elements behind them. Selicha, singular, means forgiveness. This is the default Selicha and comprises the vast majority of Selichot, singular, plural. You are seeking or you are invoking your prayers seeking forgiveness. Pizmon, P-I-Z-M-O-N, is Hebrew for chorus. These central Selichot vary according to the day and contain a chorus, which is repeated after each stanza. A perfect example, we did this last night, Psalm 136. And His grace is sufficient. We do it on Passover. We did it last night. Akidah, everybody should know this term if you've been here long enough, means binding. It's Hebrew for binding, a word which especially refers to the binding of Isaac. This Selicha contains the theme of the Akidah as a merit for God answering our prayers. It begins to appear on Rosh Hashanah Eve and is placed immediately before the Pizmon, before the chorus, so to speak. Techinah, Hebrew for petition. The Selicha begins to appear on the eve of Rosh Hashanah in the Tachanun section. I'm getting into some very specific prayers here because one of the things is I have a link in my notes that will take you to a type of prayer or poem that is recited. It's all in Hebrew. You won't be able to understand it. But the Spirit of God will understand it and will, I believe, give you whatever insight when you hear it that you will require. Chatanu. The Hebrew word for we have sinned. Starting in the evening before Rosh Hashanah and continuing through Yom Kippur, this selicha is said after the final recitation of the 13 attributes before the vidyu, confession. So let me share this with you. Ela, as Kara martyrology, the 10 martyrs were 10 men, 10 rabbis living during the era of the Mishnah, who were martyred by the Romans in the period after the destruction of the temple, the second temple. Although all 10 could not have been killed at the same time, since two of the rabbis listed lived well before the other 8, they are listed together in a manner of dramatic poem, a dramatic poem that's recited on two important Jewish holidays to elicit the proper mood of the day, one of reflection, yet also one of hope and redemption in the face of attacks to the beliefs of the Jewish people. Here's a little bit of the story. The Roman Emperor Hadrian, depending on your emphasis on the syllable and what part of the region you come from, during the revolt of 132 through 135 of the Common Era, decides to martyr 10 rabbis as punishment for the 10 brothers listed in the Torah who sold their brother Joseph into slavery, Genesis 37. He justifies this by saying that the penalty for this was death, according to the Jewish law. One who kidnaps his fellow Jew and sells him into slavery is punished with death. Hadrian is using Jewish law to kill Jewish people and justify it. Anyways, this, however, does not allow for descendants to be punished in place of their ancestors. And though this crime took place almost 2,000 years earlier, there are none like you 10 who are capable of rectifying this crime. This is the backdrop of the story. And like I said, here I have a link for you. It's about 20 minutes, 22 minutes long. I believe it's all in Hebrew, if I'm not mistaken. In contemporary times, the moral of this poem has taken on a new meaning. With the deaths of millions of Jews during the Holocaust, many Jews followed Rabbi Akiva and his example, reciting the Shema as they were being led to the gas chambers. The liturgical link was made explicit in the Malzor for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, a 1972 project of the Rabbinical Assembly, which is the primary rabbinical association for conservative Judaism. In an elaborate reworking of the traditional texts, the martyrology was interwoven with material from Hayim, Naaman, Bialik, Liel, Bavli, and other sources, connecting the Roman persecution to later persecutions such as those of the Russian Tsars and the Nazis. The section climaxes with a special version of the Mourner's Kaddish, which names sites and persecution and Jewish flourishing. So that's a little bit of a dynamic of just the type of selichot that exists. During this time of Selichot, we focus on the 13 attributes of Adonai as found in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, where we truly weigh what His mercy truly means to us, a mercy that is undeserving yet is freely given. Most don't realize this, but the grace conveyed in the new covenant through Yeshua is the same grace that we find in the Tanakh. Think of it this way. Had there been no sacrificial system, had there been no Yom Kippur, there would be no mercy or grace because there would be no way to rectify or reconcile our transgressions. And therefore, we would die in our transgressions. There would have been no means by which we could make atonement and therefore restore our place with Adonai. It was through His mercy and through His grace that He instilled the sacrificial system as a way for making atonement. It would be His mercy and His grace that Yeshua would be that ultimate, final, and most powerful kapara, atonement, sacrifice, once and for all. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 24. For the Messiah has entered a holiest place, which is not man-made, and merely a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself in order to appear now on our behalf in the very presence of God. Further, He did not enter heaven to offer Himself over and over again, like the Kohen Gadol who enters the holiest place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer death many times from the founding of the universe on. But as it is, he has appeared once at the end of the ages in order to do away with sin through the sacrifice of himself. Just as human beings have to die once, but after this comes judgment. So also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to deliver those who are eagerly waiting on Him. Sin still exists in the world, yet He dealt with it. So He has overcome it, which means we are not bound by it, which means we should be living freely by His sacrifice. The 13 attributes of Adonai begin in verse 6 and end with the word Venache in verse 7. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. Adonai passed before him and proclaimed his name. Adonai is God, merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace and truth, showing grace to the thousandth generation, forgiving offenses, crimes, and sins, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effects of the parents' offenses to be experienced by their children and grandchildren, and even to the third and fourth generation. Excuse me. So let me break down Exodus 34, 6 and 7 for you for a few minutes. This is how each attribute is applied based on the Hebrew, where there are 13 attributes. Adonai's name is referenced twice in verse 6. The first time it says God is merciful prior to sin. The second time it emphasizes that God is merciful after the sin, before and after. Then you have El. God is merciful above and beyond. Then the fourth, Rachun. God eases punishment of the guilty and has great sympathy for human frailty. Vachanun. God shows mercy to those who may not even deserve it, while also raising up the oppressed and consoling the downtrodden. Erech Apayim, God allows for the sinner to reflect, to change, and to repent. The Rav Chesed, God always leans in the favor of virtue over sin and is kind to those who may not be able to muster personal merit. The Emmet. God is honest and keeps his word to those who stay true to him. Natser Chesed La'alafim. God doesn't forget the acts of the righteous and applies those merits to a less deserving generation. Nosei Avon. If the sinner repents, God forgives. Vafesha. If the sinner repents, God forgives even malicious sins. V'chata'a, God forgives sin that arose out of ignorance, carelessness, or apathy. And the 13th, the neke, if one truly repents, God is merciful and forgiving. Ultimately, this is a consistent theme found throughout Scripture. And here is the theme. Return to me and I will return to you. I want to focus on one of the prophets, Hosea, chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Return, Israel, to Adonai your God, for your guilt has made you stumble. Take words with you and return to Adonai. Say to him, forgive all guilt and accept what is good. We will pay instead of bulls the offerings of our lips. What are we talking about here? We're not talking about in replacement of, but first, before a blood sacrifice is truly accepted by God, as a sin offering, there must be some sort of repentance associated with that. Well, here's my offering. Yet you go and you do the same thing over and over again. The offering means nothing. Atonement comprises blood of an innocent to be applied to the altar. Yet it is teshuva that truly restores us to Adonai. Confession, admittance, acknowledgement of our transgression to Adonai. This is a consistent message found throughout Scripture. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 8. If we claim not to have sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we acknowledge our sins, then, since he is trustworthy and just, he will forgive them and purify us from all wrongdoing. If we claim we have not been sinning, we are making him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Anybody ever make that proclamation before? I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. Careful. There are times when God will reveal things to you at the most inopportune times. It's like, oh. It's like, wow. Hadn't thought about that in years. It's like, wow. How about Proverbs 28:13? He who conceals his sins, plural, will not succeed. He who confesses and abandons them will gain mercy. In essence, it's almost a reminder of the new covenant promise. I will remember their sin no more. Consider Nehemiah chapter 1, starting in verse 6. This is as God is preparing Israel to return to the land from captivity. 70 years in Babel. Nehemiah is getting ready to prepare the people to return to rebuild the walls. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes be open so that you will listen to the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you these days, day and night, for the people of Israel, your servants, Nehemiah is interceding and praying on behalf of the people. Even as I confess the sins of the people of Israel that we have committed against you, yes, I and my father's house have sinned. Now pay attention to verse 7. We have deeply offended you. We haven't observed the mitzvot, laws, and rulings you ordered your servant Moses. Pay attention to this for a minute. Your transgression deeply offends your God. When we take ourselves out of it for a minute and we look at not how it impacts others specifically, because sometimes your sin will impact other individuals. But when you look at how it impacts your Creator, your Father, your Savior, your Messiah, what does that say? What should that say to you? Think of somebody close in your life that may have either hurt you or you've hurt them. It's that type of dynamic because there's a closeness there. Most don't realize that their justification for not doing any of Adonai's mitzvot that apply to them is in essence offending him. So when you say you don't have to because Yeshua fulfilled the law, and I therefore am not required, ask yourself, did God really say I didn't have to do it? Yet it is through our confession and Adonai's atonement we receive his mercy found in forgiveness. Continuing on with Hosea, Asher will not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will no longer call what we made with our hands our gods, small g. For it is only in you that the fatherless can find mercy. I will heal their disloyalty. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from him. I will be like dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily and strike roots like the Lebanon. His branches will spread out. His beauty be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like the Lebanon. Again, they will live in his shade and raise grain. They will blossom like a vine, and its aroma will be like the wine of the Lebanon. Ephraim will say, what have I to do anymore with idols? And I answer and affirm him, I am like a fresh green cypress tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Let the wise understand these things, and let the discerning know them. For the ways of Adonai are straight, and the righteous walk in them. But in them sinners stumble. Did you notice the two elements in Hosea? Repentance and forgiveness. They say, oh, well, I forgive you, but you're going to stay up here and I'm not going to use you anymore. But you've been forgiven. Doesn't say that at all. If anything, it's almost like what occurred with Job. God blessed him even more for his faithfulness. So let us be mindful of these 13 attributes of who Adonai is and just how significant they should be within our lives. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 through 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning the sin and overlooking the crimes of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in grace. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. You will throw all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will show truth to Yaakov and grace to Abraham, as you have sworn to our ancestors since days of long ago. There's a slogan going on with President Trump. Promises made, promises kept. Micah, promises made, promises kept. Your Selichot prayers don't need to come from a prayer book, but should comprise the elements I had mentioned earlier, while also focusing on Adonai's 13 attributes of mercy. All of them are in my notes. They'll be up on the website later this week. You will be able to study them, and hopefully I will have the audio to go with it so you can listen and read at the same time. Amen. When both are present, I believe a truly repentant heart is exposed for Adonai to see. This is where true teshuva begins and can be found. And it's basically believed that on Rosh Hashanah, the books are open. And on Yom Kippur, the books are closed and the fate is sealed for the upcoming year. But keeping in mind, we're talking about his book of life. Just as Moses had requested his name to be blotted from Adonai's book, your name has been unblotted in the book because of your acceptance of Yeshua, turning from your life that was absent of Adonai and turning or returning to him. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing in front of the throne. Books, plural, were opened, and another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged from what was written in the books, according to what they had done. The very book Moses talked about, blot me out of your book, I believe is that book of life. And then the books are everything that has occurred in our life that is relevant to our relationship with God. Yet keeping in mind, Revelation is not bringing up a new idea or concept. Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 9. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient One took his seat. Seat singular, not seat plural. His clothing was white as snow. The hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne, singular, was fiery flames with wheels of burning fire. A stream of fire flowed from his presence. Thousands and thousands ministered to him. Millions and millions stood before him. Then the court was convened and the books were opened. This from Daniel. Long before John received the revelation of God. Long before. Everything I've shared with you today should be viewed as one consistent message. It is not exclusive to one covenant or the other. It is not promised through the old covenant, it is promised through the old covenant at Sinai, but it is empowered through the new covenant ratified by Yeshua. So let us pray, whereby the components of Selichot are present, while being mindful of the 13 attributes of Adonai, which would also be considered the 13 attributes of Messiah, in that they are Echad, they are one. And let me leave you with this question. How much stronger would the entire body of Messiah be if we emphasized a time of Teshuvah and a time of Selichot, not just a day nor 10 days, but an entire month prior to these periods. Keeping in mind, we come at any time, but when we have it on our calendar and we take it seriously, I believe this is where he sharpens our iron, where he refines us with fire, where he purifies the treasure that we are to him. Gold is refined through fire. The impurities are removed because of the heat and the flame. Silver, the same way. Yet other things are consumed by fire because the impurities are so great within them. So keep that in mind, if everyone will please rise. Adonai said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Ivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yayer Adonai penevele v'yichunecha, Yisei Adonai penevele lecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord manifest his presence to you and give you peace. In this way they are to put my name on the people of Israel so that I, the Lord, will bless them. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this time and for your word. We thank you for the season that we are in the midst of. And Lord, may we be about your business in seeking and searching, and seeking you and searching our heart, Lord, that we may come boldly to the throne, your throne, with a repentant heart, whereby you forgive us of our transgressions through the blood of Messiah. Lord, may you be honored and may you be glorified. In Messiah's name we give thanks, and together we say, Amen.